One of the main inyanim in Seder Tetzaveh is the begodim of the Kohen, the Kohanim. And the Torah says really two different purposes of these begodim. V'asu b'gdei kodesh li'aron achicho levanav l'chanoli. Or it says l'kadsho l'chanoli. Right? V'asu as b'gdei aron l'kadsho l'chanoli. The begodim somehow give Aaron and his children kedusha and make them kohanim. As I'm trying to say, b'gdei amaleim kunasam aleim. The Kohen is only a Kohen, the Gabi Avod, that he has his regular, he has a special begodim on. But if he doesn't have a special begodim, he's not a Kohen. So the begodim, mamish, make him a Kohen, brings out his kedusha. And yet the Torah says a different idea than the begodim. It says that the begodim are the covenant with Tiferes. So which is it? Are the begodim for a covenant and a Tiferes for Aaron, or are there the things that are Makadashim and make him a Kohen? So there are two ideas in the begodim altogether, clothing altogether. The concept of tznius is not that the body has to be covered because of something wrong with it. But the idea is that before the chait of Adam HaRishon, there was no need for clothing, because it was clear that the body was merely a suit of clothing that the neshama wore to be able to function in this world. We always like to compare it to an astronaut. As long as the neshama is in a spiritual world, it can function very nicely without any physical apparatus. Just like an astronaut, as long as he's on Earth, he can function very nicely without a spacesuit. But once the neshama comes into the physical world, it needs a body to be able to function. But the body is just a suit of clothing that enables the neshama to function in the physical world. That's why when the neshama goes back to the spiritual world, so it leaves the body here. Like the astronaut takes the spacesuit off. And that's why one of the ways we show mourning to somebody who dies, we tear our clothing. To show that it's only the clothing that's been torn, but the ikar of the person is still there. On the other hand, after the chait of Adam and Chava, so the body went against the neshama. It did something that wasn't good for the neshama. And now it didn't become clear anymore that the neshama is the ikar and the body just serves the neshama, enables it to function, because the body does things that are not good for the neshama. So maybe there is no neshama. Maybe the body's the ikar. You see that it's not just a suit of clothing that enables the neshama to function, because it can do things that are in detrimental to the neshama. So then it was necessary to create this idea of tznius. Tznius means whenever there's an inner kedusha, and one could make a mistake to think that the externals are the ikar, not the inner kedusha. So you distract attention from the externals, and you attract attention to the fact that there's more here than meets the eye. You cover the externals to make the statement there's more here than meets the eye, and the ikar is what you can't see. That's what tznius is. And it fits the lashon with the concept by Shabbos. There's a perek in Shabbos called Hamatznia. Oversimplified, but the basic idea of Hamatznia is all Melechus Shabbos need a shear to be chayiv chatos or to be chayiv skila. If you do less than a shear, it's aser, but you don't get an oldish. An exception is by Hotzah. The shear of Hotzah's Ochlin is for the most part a kazayis. So if you have a kazayis of cake that you carry out on Shabbos, you chayiv chatos. If you did it b'shoge, you chayiv skil if you did it b'mezah. But if you carry less than a kazayis, so it's aser, but you're not chayiv skil or chayiv chatos. On the other hand, if you have a piece of cake that you saved from your wedding, and it's very, very chosh of a piece of cake to you, except it's a little, small little crumb, and on Shabbos you carry it out, right, by mistake, that even though it's not a kazayis, you're chayiv, a chatos. Because you're makshiv it by hiding it away. That's called hamatznia. So you see that matznia, tznias, is not hiding something because it's not kashiv, just the opposite, putting away for safekeeping. The body is unimportant if that's all there is. It's important if it's the clothing of the neshama. So you cover it because it's so important. You don't want to take away its chashivas by thinking that's all there is. That's why there's no Indian of tznius by animals. Tznius is only where there's an important internal, but you could make a mistake and think that the external is the ikar, so you cover the external to emphasize the internal. But by an animal, there is no thing internal. There's only the external. So wherever there's only the external, it's fine. Nothing wrong. Nothing. You don't need to cover it. Somebody asked me, so then why do we cover a nifter? It's no internal, it's no neshama. But the idea is that there was a neshama. You're covering the body to a point that this wasn't just a body that never had a neshama. It's a body that there was something internal, and the body got kashivas because of that. So you're still covered. There are two places that Chazal say in a medrash that tznius is extra important. One is by the Mishkan. When the Mishkan was finished, so the Medrash says, the Rebbe Shem said, Yofa HaTznius. Now Tznius is extra important. And that's why the Mishkan was covered like a bride. It had a train in the back and a veil in the front. Front of the Mishkan was covered and the back was covered, and there was a train that went, Mamash like a column, extra tzadua. What does Tznius have to do with the Mishkan? If Tznius is to cover your body because it's erotic, because it's not good, then it has nothing to do with the Mishkan. What's erotic about the Mishkan? What's negative about the Mishkan? Now, like we explained, the idea is that you could make a mistake to think that the externals of the Mishkan are the Ikar, especially by the Mishkan, where there were fancy curtains and gold and silver. Mashekin the Beis HaMikdash was just stone on the outside. So it wasn't too much of a place to make a mistake and think that the outside was the Ikar. But by the Mishkan, there were all these important materials. So there you could think that maybe that was the Ikar. I heard the story that Rav Shlomo Shvadron, that's out, one of his sons was by the coastal on a Shabbos, and he saw an Israeli writing a kvittel on Shabbos, putting it in the wall. So he thought maybe there was somebody, Sakonis Nefashos, he thought you were allowed to write a kvittel, Pikuach Nefesh. So he went over to him, he said, what are you doing? It's Shabbos. He said, I'm the captain of a soccer team, and we have a big game coming up, and I was asking the wall to let us win. That's Avodah Zarah, right? Instead of mirror, mirror on the wall, you have wall, wall on the ground. That's Avodah Zarah. If you put your attention, you focus on the externals of the Mishkan, the Kosel, then you're making it Avodah Zarah. It's no different than Chet Va'Egel. The Ikar of the Mishkan, the Mikdash, is the Shechina that's inside. So you cover the outside to emphasize that what's here is not what meets the eye. What's the Ikar is what you can't see. Same thing, Talmidei Chachamim, it says, have to be extra tzadua. Right? Talmidei Chachamim wear extra long clothing, and they have to be tzadua extra in the way they eat, and the way they speak, and everything. Why? Talmud Chachamim has to be extra tzadua? Because there's a halacha that Hashem Elokecha tira l'rabbis Talmidei Chachamim. You have to mamish have fear of a Talmud Chacham, or like you have of the Rabbanu Shalom. That's very dangerous. Because if you make the Talmud Chacham a god, right, as some people do, so then that also borders the Avodah Zarah. It says you have to have mamish awe and fear, but it's not for the externals of the Talmud Chacham, his personality, who he is. It's for his Torah that he possesses. So you cover the externals, you de-emphasize the external things, and make the statement that what's the Ikar over here is what you can't see, not what you can see. So that's one idea of tznius. Because it's possible to focus in on the external and to forget about the chashivas of the internal, we cover the externals in order to emphasize that the internal is the Ikar. That's why clothing is called begadim. Begadim comes from the word bogeid, a traitor. When the body was a traitor against the neshama, then you needed begadim because of that begida, because of that being a traitor. And it's also called levush. Levush means lo busha, takes away the busha. Busha is a safety valve that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created when people want to do things that are not appropriate because they have a neshama. They want to act like animals, right? Or something should be private and you want to do it publicly. That's busha. Busha means lehisboshesh, means to be inhibited, to hold back. The busha appears on your face, because the face is the screen that separates between the inside and the outside. That's why it's called panim. L'chara, you only have one face, and it's an external organ. It should be called chutz, white panim, because the face is a screen for everything that's on the inside. And it's not just one thing, it's many things. You can see guilt and happiness and sadness all at once on a face. So when a person wants to do something inappropriate, because he doesn't take into cheshbon what his neshama is, or he wants to do things externally which should be left internally, that red light goes on, that covers your face, that separates between the internal and the external, reminds you that there's something internal that maybe it's an embarrassment for you to do what you want to do because you have a neshama. That's one idea of clothing, and that's the idea by the Kohanim. Lekan show lekan only. The Kohen wears begadim that cover his body in order to bring out his Kedusha. It's not the externals of the Kohen that they're Iker. What you can't see is the Iker here. So we cover the externals to emphasize that there's an internal Kedusha that has to be focused on, and that's what brings out that Kedusha. So the begadim are lekan show lekan only. On the other hand, if that was the only idea of tzniyus, then we should wear clothing that totally negates the body, like a tent. So you wouldn't see a person that has arms and legs, right? And walk around like this big tent, like Arab women, whatever. Just with two slots for your eyes, and like a big, what's it called, beehive, that you walk inside. So why do we wear clothing that allows you to see that you have a body? Just covered. Because the once you know that the body is not the ikar, but it's a tefillah. And we human beings need to see things that represent the Kedusha, the inner Kedusha. So Sari Meinu was as beautiful as 20 as she was at 7. So first of all, usually women are more beautiful at 20 than they are at 7. And who cares if Sari Meinu was beautiful or not? She was Sari Meinu. She could have been ugly, but she was still Sari Meinu. What difference does it make? We find by Yosef, the Torah says he was handsome, and by Rachel, and what's the Rivka? Who cares? But the idea is that the Vilna Gaon says on the pasuk Sheker Achein, the Hevel Ayofi, Isha Yiras Hashem Itasawa. He explains in the following way: when is Chein and Yofi Sheker and Hevel? When there's nothing else, it's only an external. But Isha Yiras Hashem, a woman who has that inner Yiras Hashem, she should be praised for her Chein and her Yofi, because there's a certain Chein and Yofi that represent, that reflect the inner Kedusha outwardly. That gives you cover. That's all you need of Hiddur Mitzvah. Do mitzvahs in a beautiful, aesthetic way, because we are human beings who are affected by what we see on the outside. And as long as you know that the outside is not the Iker, that the outside reflects the inner Kedusha, that's fine. So the beauty of Sari Meinu was not the kind of beauty that's subjective. External beauty, because that beauty has no real standard. I always like to bring the raya that in Africa there's a tribe called the Ubangis, and they have the custom of putting half saucers in their daughters' mouths when they're little, and it makes their lips stick out. So by the time they are teenagers, they have a lip that sticks out about a foot, and that's considered beautiful. If you don't have a lip that sticks out a foot, you'll never find the shidduch. But in America, if you have a lip that sticks out a foot, you go to the orthodontist and spend thousands of dollars to fix it up. So, what's beautiful? It says in Esther, everybody thought she was beautiful. How could that be? Either she had a lip that stuck out a foot, or she didn't. If she did, then the Ubangis thought she was beautiful, the Americans thought she was ugly. If she didn't, then the Americans thought she was beautiful, the Ubangis thought she was ugly. So how could it be everybody thought she was beautiful? But the answer is, there's a certain beauty that is universal. It's the kind of external beauty that reflects an inner innocence. That's what Sari Meinu had. She was as beautiful as 20 as she was at 7. The beauty of a 7-year-old is the beauty of the innocence of childhood. And that's something that's universal. It's an external reflection of something internal. That kind of beauty is, like the Vilna Gaon says, is important. So the begadim have another purpose. Begadim are called the chabdusi. They're that which gives me covet. It means it reflects externally what my inner covet is. That's why a doctor wears a special clothing. People can see he's a doctor. It reflects his inner position. Right? And a Ben Torah wears a begadim that reflect his being a Ben Torah. It's not the ikar. It doesn't make you a Ben Torah to wear a black hat and a jacket. But it reflects that covet that Torah. Right? And when you see somebody like that, it's like a uniform. You see a soldier in a uniform, you know he's a soldier. You know what his tafkin is. Same thing, a tafkin, there's a uniform for a tafkin of a Ben Torah. Again, it's not the ikar, but it definitely is something. Just like the uniform of the army is not an ikar. You can still be a soldier without a uniform. But it conveys a certain respect for the position. So therefore, the Big Day Kahuna, once they were lekadsho lekad only, they also were lekavod letiferes. Once they were to cover the externals, because they rebelled, to take away the busha, now they reflect externally what that inner kedusha is. So it works together. So Big Day Kahuna both accent and emphasize the inner kedusha of the Kohen, but once it does that, it reflects externally the beauty of that inner kedusha by being the Kavod L'Tiferes, being beautiful begadim that bring kavod and glory to the Kohen that's wearing it. That is basically the concept of begadim and the concept of tzniyus.